morning. Today's daf in Chulin Nun Beis. We are in Nun Aleph. We are just turning the page on Nun Aleph. We're going from Nun Aleph Amud Aleph to Nun Aleph Amud Beis. I'm going to be starting on the last line of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph today. Tanya de Masayelach Brace of Supports. We are in the middle of the Gemara's Sugya regarding Nafla Menagag, or otherwise known as Nefula. Nefula is one of the eight categories of Trefas. There are 18 different Trefas that we already went through on the Mishnah on Mem Beis, and then shortly thereafter on Mem Gimel, so we went through eight different categories of Nevela. Right? Nekuva, Psuka, Netula, Chasura, Krura, Drusa, Nefila, Nefula, and Shvura. So we're talking about Nefula. Nefula is basically blunt trauma. Basically, you had a good zets to the head, to the vertebrae, and basically you suffered some sort of spinal injury, spinal cord injury, brain injury. You know me, I'm not diagnosing right now, just describing. And under those circumstances, the animal would be a trefa. We'll talk a little bit later this morning about a bedika, that there's a chance that even after the animal suffered a fall and suffered some form of a concussion, there would be a way of being bodek. But outside of that, though, the animal is a trefa. If I were to shech the animal immediately after the nefila without knowing that the animal has survived or recovered or didn't do any kind of serious damage, then the animal would be a trefa and be obviously asr b'achila. With that stated, the Gemara goes over various scenarios in which the fall or the trauma was significant or not significant. And you're going to see in the course of today's daf, really what we're doing is first finishing up yesterday's daf, continuing to today's daf, the Gemara is going to be unbelievably detailed regarding all the various scenarios which are considered significant trauma and less significant trauma. So the Gemara starts off now with a discussion that we started yesterday, and that is, what about childbirth? Childbirth, Amar Rav Nachman. I'm going to back up one more line in the Gemara Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. On the very bottom, Amar Rav Nachman, Beis HaRechemein Bo Mishum Risuk Evarim. Birth, going, experiencing birth. Now, thankfully, none of us remember, but experiencing birth is traumatic. It's trauma. And so is that going to be put yourself under the category of Nefula? Now, again, by the way, that in of itself is not the end-all be-all, because there are ways of discovering whether or not it was, in fact, traumatic or not traumatic. However, the act itself, is that going to be an act of Nefula? Is that going to be, is that going to render a trefa? So the Gemara says, no. And Rav Nachman says no. Beis HaRechemein Bo Mishum Risuk Evarim. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman Tayin Demesayelach. And the Gemara now quotes the Braisa, being totally supportive of this idea. Tinok Ben Yom Echad. Mitame Beziva. Now here we're talking about a one-day-old who gives off Tuma Ziva. Now, generally speaking, a one-day-old infant is not going to have any kind of emission or discharge of Zav. However, the point the Mishnah is making is that in the event that the baby did have a Zav discharge, that would be halachically significant and would be halachically deemed Zav. Even though, obviously, it's a one-day-old, it is, when I say immature, we understand it, not just immature, meaning we're at the beginning of life, but, I mean, postpartum, of course, but still, it's the beginning of life. And so, it doesn't matter halachically regarding the halachas of Zav. He is still going to be a metame bizarre. Now, how is this a proof as to whether or not birth is considered traumatic or not traumatic? And so the Gemara now develops. So the Gemara says, let's just envision for a moment that the birthing event is in fact trauma. And it's risuk evarim. So now this one-day-old had a zav emission. We know the halacha is regarding a zav emission, is that it has to be mi bisaro, meaning that the reason that, not the reason, but the zav emission that comes out is going to render a man a tamei, is only when the zav emission that happens is a natural event internally generated and not coming from external forces. If the zav discharge were coming as a result of external forces, so that halachically is not zav. The Gemara darshins it based on psukim. Rashi on the very top quotes the pasuk: "Zav mi b'saro shiye b'saro k'moshu shalem v'lo ba'ones." In other words, there cannot be any external forces that are causing the ziva, the discharge, to come out. As a result of that, you have to say that the birth is not risuk evarim. If the birthing event was risuk evarim, So that is considered trauma. It's traumatic. And then the zav emission that this child has is halachically not going to be significant. The argument, therefore, is that the birthing event is not a traumatic event. That's the argument.
Why not we say where we can check the newborn immediately? If it was visuke,
we're going to get there. The Gemara is going to bring that up. So the Toshma, the Gemara says, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't read the answer. So the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, look, the proof in of itself would have been a good proof, but we could give an ukimta. The case over there under discussion is only when the baby comes out via cesarean. When the baby comes out via cesarean, so it did not have a birthing event, didn't come out naturally, and so maybe under those circumstances, the Tinuk Ben Yomo is in fact going to be a Zav. Toshma. Gemara says, one, we consider the following, Egel Shanola B'yomtov, Shochanoso B'yomtov. When the calf is born Anyantov, you can shecht it Anyantov. Now, this is a Mishnah on Beitzah, and obviously over here, the consideration is that of a Muktzah consideration. Meaning we know that Anyantov, as well as on Shabbos, so Muktzah is in fact Aser. Muktzah simply means, on its simplest level, it's Eino Min Hamuchan. Meaning it wasn't set aside and prepared for Shabbos or for Yantov. Now, Shabbos, there's no discussion about animals and shechting animals because you're not allowed to shecht an animal on Shabbos. On Yontif, however, you are allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif. So therefore, animals are not mukso, being that we know that we could shecht this animal on Yontif. So going into Yontif, even though it's a live animal, and even though, of course, we can't eat it while it's alive, but nevertheless, we know we're going to shecht it, so it is mukhan, not mukso. What about the baby that's born on Yontif? Is that animal going to be acceptable? And the Mishnah tells us in Beitza, it's acceptable. Egel shenola b'yamtov, shochtin osa b'yamtov, so you're allowed to shechtin on yamtov. And again, over here now, so the consideration over there was a muksa consideration, and the point of the Mishnah is that it's not muksa. Our consideration now is risa kivarim, the birthing event and the trauma of the birthing event. Isn't that going to render the animal a trefa, or at least a possible trefa? And shouldn't we have to wait for things that we're looking for later? Again, just give me a second. Give me a second. No, that's for a carbon.
Only for a carbon.
Yes. So the Gemara says, again, the Gemara says, no, it came out via cesarean. So the Gemara
says,
huh?
Who did this cesarean on Yom Tov?
I don't know. Okay.
The
Jukun. As we'll see in just a moment, there are other answers the Gemara could have given as well. But okay, Tashma. Shavin she'im nolad hu umumo imo shezeh menamuchan. And they both agree that if it is born together with its blemish, so that is considered menamuchan. Now, this is also Mishnah Beitzah, and this is in reference to an animal that is a bechor. Now, an animal which is a bechor, so it's got its own muksa issues, which of course is that if we're living well outside of Yerushalayim, so it's muksa because we're simply not going to be able to offer it as a karban. And considering now that we don't have a base of mikdash, makes it even more of a muksa consideration and issue. But in the meantime, however, let's say the bechor is born on Yontov with a mum together at the time of birth. Is that now going to, can we not now argue that because the moment it's born, it is now heter, so therefore it is not considered muksa? That's the Mishnah in Beitzah. And the Mishnah over there says agreement. Now, when we say agreement, that means, of course, that previously there was disagreement. See Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. See Rashi where he discusses where previously they disagreed. But that's not the point the Gemara wants to make. The point is, once again, we now have a birthing event, and we could check the animal right away and eat it. And meanwhile, what about Risa Kevarim? To which the Gemara says, V'chite ma'achanam ishiyasa derech dofen mikadosh. The Gemara says, we're talking about an animal which is a bechor. An animal does not receive kedushas bechor if it's born via cesarean. So we all agree that when it comes to kachim, so it does not have kedusha if it is not born in a natural birth. If it comes out via cesarean, it does not have kedushas bechor. Hachabam my skin, the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Hifris agabe karka. And finally, the Gemara gives an answer which, quite frankly, could have given to all the other kashis as well, and that is as follows. That when the baby is born, so now this animal that's born may, in fact, have gone through trauma of the birth. I mean, again, of course it went through trauma, but we're talking about halachic trauma. So it may, in fact, have gone through trauma. But again, just because of a fall, because of a traumatic event, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean that the animal is in fact a trefa. If in fact the animal gets up and starts walking, so the animal is deemed not to be a trefa, meaning that the fall was not significant enough. So therefore, in all the cases that we mentioned, including the last one, we could just very simply say,
stood up,
hifris agabe karka. Hifris agabe karka shows us that the event was not a traumatic event. It may be a traumatic event, but standing up proves that it's not. And that's how we can answer all these questions. Another type of fall to the ground is beis hamitbachaim in the shach house. So you are about to shecht an animal. Obviously, you're not going to shecht it while standing up. So you have to throw it down to the ground. Throwing it down to the ground is not considered a risuk evarim. By the way, if it were, so then that would be a serious problem. Every time we want to shecht an animal, we have to throw it down to the ground, and now it's a treifa. Okay, but it's not. In other words, the Gemara says very clearly, and the Gemara also gives a svara as well. How toured enough of ishtame called negichusei. There was an ox that was laid down to the ground, pushed down to the ground, or thrown down to the ground, and we heard the groaning. So, Al Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Shalka Mishufrei Shufrei. Now, Rav Yitzchak Bar Marta said, not only is the animal kosher, but do me a favor, if you could please sell me the choicest pieces of meat. Not the first time this perek that we had a Rav Paskin and also buy meat as well. Remember earlier we asked a question, as it looks a little shady, where he poskins and then he buys. But if you remember, the Gemara asked the question earlier, and the Gemara's response was that he paid top dollar. He did not get any kind of bargain or deal. Amalei Rabbanan Manalach Ha. So he says, how do I know that it's okay? Amalei Hachem Rav, see, part of Noetz, Ad Shemagia La'aretz. So the Gemara says that when an animal is thrown to the ground and it knows that it's being thrown to the ground, it's going to prepare for the fall. It's going to spread out its legs and it's going to absorb some of the contact with its legs. So basically, instinctively, the animal knows that it's being thrown down to the ground. And so by cushioning its fall, it's not going to be trauma, which results in risuk evarim. I'm Rav Yudah Marav Amda in Itzrach Meisleis. Okay, now, if an animal, in fact, underwent a fall, an unexpected fall, so the animal right now is a nefula. And from this point going forward, the animal is deemed to be a trefa. However, if the animal shows signs of life and vitality, so that is indication that the trauma was not halachically significant. And what the Gemara now is going to be discussing are various ways of us telling whether or not it was less than significant trauma. So, for example, if the animal is able to stand on its own, so then you don't even have to wait 24 hours. Bedika vadebai. However, you still are going to require a bedika. In other words, an examination, an internal examination, because the animal fell. So now the trauma in of itself is not going to possibly the animal, but something may have opened up inside. So therefore, we're going to have to check. What are we going to have to check? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. Halchan etzricha bedika. Now, if the animal not only stood, but it was also able to walk after the fall, so then the animal is totally in the clear. The animal is not only not a nefula, it's not a suffix anything. You don't have to check anything of the animal. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar, achazu v'achazu tzricha bedika. Now Rav Chiya bar Ashi says, I don't care if the animal stood up, I don't even care if the animal walked. You're allowed to shech the animal, but you're still going to have to do a bedika under both circumstances. Amar v'yirmei bar Acha Amar Rav, pashto yad la'amod af apishlo amda. Akra ragla lahalech afa pishlo hacha. And so the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav, that when we say stand and we say walk, we don't even need that much standing, we don't even need that much walking. So as poshet yada, as long as it's able to stretch out its leg in order to stand, but the animal didn't actually stand, that's enough. And if the animal took a step to walk but didn't actually walk, that too would be enough. Rav Chisda Amar Niara Lamod Afa Pishalo Amda. And Rav Chisda says that as long as it now makes any kind of movement to stand up, that's Ninara, so that would be good enough. Okay, the Gemara now, we're going to, the parenthesis over here, it's not so much these next four lines of Gemara, it's not so much that they are girsas of the Gemara that don't belong, but probably a girsa of the Gemara that was put in later. Right, every now and then we get this in the Gemara, where we have either the Savarim or the Gaonim insert a couple of lines into the Gemara, so it could very well be that that's what it's here over here. It's like a post-editor's note about what the halacha is. I'll read it quickly. Let's say an animal fell from the roof and the animal fell unexpectedly. It was not a controlled fall. The animal didn't jump. Remember yesterday's daf, we described a scenario where the animal decisively jumped from one place to another. So there, it will control its fall. So over here, if it's an unexpected fall, and the amdan stood up, but didn't walk, we're allowed to shech the animal, but we also need an investigation, an internal investigation. But you don't have to wait 24 hours. But if the animal was able to walk, not only stand, but walk on its own accord, so then you can shech, and you don't even need a bedika. Adkan, divrei halacha from the maybe gaonim, maybe. Anyway, Amar Amemar. Mishmei Rav Dimi min Ardan. Nefula Shamut Tzricha Bedika Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. Now, under certain circumstances, as we described just a moment ago, an animal that fell is allowed to be shechted, but you also need a Bedika. What are you checking? So the Gemara says, Keneged Bnei Me'ayim, we're checking the GI track. Amar Le Mar Zutra Hach Amin Mishmei Rav Papa Tzricha Bedika Keneged Beis HaChalakulo. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav Papa, that you need to do an entire internal examination, the entire Beis HaChalal, which presumably means not only all of the digestive organs, but also the lungs, the heart, and basically anything within the cavity of the animal. So, Amar Lehuna Mar Berei Rav Nechemya Le Rav Ashi Simanimai. What about checking the simanim? Okay, so I understand I got to check the cavity of the animal. So, but what about, do we have to go all the way up to the neck? Do we have to check the trachea, the esophagus? And the answer, a very clear answer, is that no. That these esophagus and trachea are very well contained within the neck, and they are not going to be suffering any damage. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the Gemara continues, Ofshe nechbat apnei mayim. So let's say a bird now suffers a fall. Now, a bird suffering a fall is interesting because, as we all know, right, it's been reported, and I'm sure you've seen it, birds fly. So in other words, they're always in the air and they always land. So what do we mean when we're talking about a fall regarding birds? So it must mean that it must be a non-controlled fall, meaning somehow the bird basically fell. Right? What happened exactly? So we'll construct a couple of scenarios in the upcoming Gemaras in terms of how it is that the bird can have a non-controlled fall. But obviously, that's what we're talking about. So let's say, for example, Ofshe Chavra Panei Amayim. Now, the Gemara is also making another assumption, before we start the actual Gemara inside, is that the bird is more fragile than that of an animal. As opposed to an animal that needs a good zets in order for the animal to be considered having suffered trauma, when it comes to a bird, if it falls on water, that would be considered enough for it to be a traumatic event. We know that birds are fragile, have less chiyus than that of an animal. Remember, when it comes to the shechting of a bird, you only have to shecht one siman, not two simanim. So when it comes to nefula, also, the threshold is more sensitive. And so to that, the Gemara now discusses. Of shenichbar al-pnei amayim, if it, let's say, falls and lands on water, kevin sheshat melo kamas or dayo. So what do I need to see as the evidence that it did not suffer trauma? So the Gemara says it swims and it doesn't have to do a lap. It just has to do the length of its own body, and we now know that it has chiyus. So mayhu dashpila. But the Gemara says, but make sure that you see it swimming against the stream. In other words, if you're just seeing it swim with the current, that's not swimming. That's wading. So the Gemara says, v'i maya kaima leslan ba. Now, if the water itself is, let's say, not flowing, so it doesn't matter which direction the bird swims, that would be a sign of life and a sign of it did not suffer trauma. V'isharet sivi v'kadmei ha'kadmei. Now, the Gemara says, now, let's say it's swimming downstream, after having suffered a fall, swims downstream, and we said that that's not swimming, but let's say it's able to outpace the current. How do I know that? The Gemara over here gives a wonderful description of, basically, you're throwing little pieces of wood chips into the water, and you see now that the bird is able to swim faster than the wood chips are going. So good. So it is now outpacing the current. That's good. That's a sign of life. Glima Mesiach. And now the Gemara is going to go over numerous scenarios where the bird basically ran into something. Right? Birds haven't figured out the thing called glass yet. So we know birds basically collide into glass all the time because hard for them to detect something which is, you know, not visible. But we sometimes walk into glass as well. But in other words, but the Gemara is now going to go over a number of scenarios in which the bird collided and whether or not that is considered trauma or not trauma. So glima masiach chayshinan v'lo masiach lo chayshinan. So over here, going back to the old days of wrestling, we're basically talking about a clothesline, literally. So the bird went into a clothes that are hanging on some sort of line. So if it's hanging really tight, that's mesiach, so then that is considered a trauma, and the bird is now a nefula. However, if the clothesline was not tight, so then that is not considered trauma. Of umeofev lo chayshin, let's say the clothing was not taut, but rather folded over, so that means that it is absorbing some of the blow, so good. So the bird is not nefula. Izle umekarve kitre chayshin. Let's say it's a net, and the net has a lot of knots in it, and the knots are tied. There are a lot of knots that are close to one another. So then we should be afraid, we should be concerned that the bird went into one of the knots, and that would be trauma. Lo mekarvi kutro lo chayshinin. However, if the nets do have knots, but they're not next to one another, and so therefore there's a really good chance that the bird did not hit one of the knots, but just went into the soft netting, no concern. Kisna da'avi betuni. Let's say you have flax that are in bundles, chayshinin. Once they're bundled up, they're hard, and so therefore that's trauma. Da'haigisa v'da'haigisa lo chayshinin. However, if it just glanced to the side, so then that's not trauma. Asuraisa chayshinan. If you have a bundle of wood that's piled up together, that and the bird flies into that, that's trauma, and therefore chayshinan. We have to be concerned. Kisna didaig v'nafitz lo chayshinan. If I have flax that's both pounded and combed, so that makes it soft, lo chayshinan. Daig v'lo nafitz, chayshinan. However, if it's just pounded but it's not combed, so therefore, it is a hard substance, and we're not choshesh. David Bizri, kevan de'ika be kitri chayshinan. Sorry. Okay, some other substance, Rashi, popidas. Okay, I don't know, sorry. So whether or not it has knots or does not, that is trauma, and therefore we're choshesh. Dakata chayshinan. If we have flax residue, so the residue that comes off the flax during the processing of the flax, so again, it's a hard substance, and therefore we're choshesh. Daktikasa, so lo chayshinan. But if it's just the fine residue, so that is something which is softer. Nivra, chayshinan. A moss that grows on the palm, that's collected and aggregated, it is not soft, and so therefore chayshinan, that's trauma. Timchasa, lo chayshinan. If, however, it was processed into straps, so that's something that we do not need to be concerned about because it's soft and absorbent and doesn't create trauma. Kitma niala. If I have ashes that were sifted, so in other words, now the ashes are collected into a pile but sifted, and so therefore it does not give me that soft feeling. So chayshinan, lo niala lo chayshinan. But if it's not sifted, so then a pile of ashes is soft and will absorb some of that contact, some of that pressure. Chol adak, as we now turn to the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, if we're talking about sand that's very fine, lo chayshinan. However, chol agas, but if it's clumpy and large granules of sand, chayshinan, then we're concerned. Avak adarachim chayshinan. Dust of a pathway which has been pounded down and therefore not soft, so then chayshinan, that's trauma. Tivna, if the bird lands right into weed, va'aved, the Avid Bizga. Now, if the wheat over here was already made into a bale, so chayshinan, so then that's hard, and therefore we're going to be choshesh. Lo Avid Bizga, but if it's just wheat that's scattered, and he falls onto a pile of wheat, so lo chayshinan, we're not worried. Chita v'chol d'minayu chayshinan, sari v'chol d'minayu chayshinan. Now, here there are two girsos of the Gemara, either chayshinan or lo chayshinan. Wheat, the Gemara says, is a hard grain, and therefore landing on top of it, trauma. Barley, well, we have two girsos of the Gemara. It is either traumatic or non-traumatic, depending on whether how soft or hard a pile of barley would be. I've not tried it at home. I do not know what kind of pressure it is to land on a pile of barley. Komi nikitnios. Now, what about legumes? Zayin b'ayim mishum misukei avarim. They're soft. So landing on them is not traumatic. Lavarim and Ruvia, with a coarse exception to fenugreek. If I know what fenugreek was, so I could describe it to you even better. Other types of vegetation, I don't know what they are, forgiveness, but the chimtzi is soft, there's not trauma. Chifzi is hard, therefore it is trauma. klala demilsa. Now, after going over so many examples, it is so interesting how much time the Gemara spends on this issue of a bird landing on substances and demarcating whether they are hard or soft, whether it is trauma or not trauma. It's really interesting the amount of time the Gemara dedicates to this very, very particular topic. Klal demilsa, the Gemara says, I'll give you a general rule, which is, kol mida demishrak ein ba mishum risak evarim, lo mishrak yesh ba mishum risak evarim. I have a great way to describe the klal demilsa, a ball pit. Okay, if you ever took your kids out, or grandkids, and they jump into a ball pit. So over there, it's not trauma. In fact, it's fun. So, I mean, I haven't tried in a while, but, right, yeah, correct. And the reason why it's not traumatic, it's not trauma, is because what happens is that as you land into the ball pit, so the balls are not clinging one to another, and so therefore they absorb a lot of the fall, and so therefore no harm until someone gets hurt. But in other words, but no harm is done. However, if it's something that clings together and you jump on it, so obviously you have nothing there to absorb that fall. It doesn't separate as you fall down in it. And so therefore that's trauma. And that's going to lead to the problem of nefula and risuk evar. Davuk, we now continue in the Gemara. We are nun bezam and aleph. About 10.
Doesn't say chayshinim.
Okay, fine. Okay, I it's a good diuk. Davuk. We might now move into the Gemara. We're 10 lines from the top of the Amud Anun Beis Amud Aleph. And now we're talking about glue. What happened over here, the way Rashi describes it, is that basically back in the good old days, so how do you trap your birds? So one way to do it is to basically put a little bit of glue on a heavy piece of wood, on a heavy board. Bird lands on it. Okay, bird is trapped. Very good. Nice and simple. But let's say now it's the bird has its wing caught on the board. And now the bird makes an attempt to fly. But because now a piece of wood is attached to its wing, so it's not going to be successful. And so basically what we're trying to ascertain is whether or not it could still make some sort of controlled landing so that it did not suffer trauma. And the Gemara, once again, discusses this with unbelievable detail. So the Davuk, Rav Ashi Shari Amemar Asar, so the Gemara first brings in a Machlokas Amoraim, whether or not this is trauma or not trauma. So b'chai gapa dekule amalo pligi deshari. If let's say the wood is only attached to one of the wings, so I had full control of its second wing, so that is a controlled fall and non-traumatic, and everyone agrees. Ki pligi betray gape. The Gemara says, what happens when the wood is glued to both of their wings of the bird? Would then it be able to control its fall? And that's the machlokus. Manda asar amale heichanekum. So the one who says it's asar asks a very simple question. Well, how is it going to be able to control its fall at all, being that both of its wings are glued to pieces of wood? And the one who says that it's mutter, well, the tips of the wings can still create some sort of control to the fall. Igadami, the Gemara has another version of this very same debate, which is betray gapi kol amalo pligi da'asar, that when it comes to two wings, everyone agrees that if wood is glued to the two wings of the bird, that is a non-controlled fall, that is considered trauma, and the bird is a nefula. So ki pligi b'chad gapa, when it's tied to one wing. Man d'shari amal l'chayav sh'deparach b'chad gapa. The one who says that it's motor will argue that, okay, but it's still got one wing where it can control its fall. And man d'asar kevin d'bahai lo matzi parach, b'hai nami lo matzi parach. And the one who says that it's asar will tell you that no. Once it loses control of one of its wings, it simply cannot control its fall. And the Gemara now, after discussing for this particular topic, a good amount of Gemara on this topic, the Gemara concludes and the Gemara says that if wood was glued to one wing and the bird subsequently fell, it can control its fall to the point where it's not trauma. If, however, wood is tied to the two wings, it cannot control its fall. It is, in fact, trauma. The bird is aser. Nishtabu Rav Tzolosaham, and we move ahead. And now we're in the Mishnah, the section of the Mishnah where we're discussing the ribs and the vertebrae. Now, when we talk about the ribs and the vertebrae, just as a brief introduction, you saw today, I didn't bring Tumuni Chol today. It's like one of the rare dapim in this perek where you don't need pictures. And over here also, pictures would be nice, but we could do this without the pictures. We have a vertebrae running down the back of the animal, and we have ribs coming out of the vertebrae, and the ribs obviously go around and cover most of the cavity of the animal. And these ribs, how many are there in total? So we can count, and we're going to be counting 13 ribs coming out of each of the vertebrae. So that's 13 times 2, that's 26. And the Gemara is not going to be working with the number 26. The Gemara is going to be working with the number 22. So what happens? Did we just take ribs away from an animal? So the good news is, no, we did not. We did not take ribs away from the animal. As we're going to see clearly in the Gemara over here, we're only talking about significant ribs, meaning there are, anatomically we can count a total of 26 ribs, right? 13 rows of ribs. However, halachically, we're only looking at the ribs the Gemara is going to describe with marrow as opposed to ribs without marrow. At this point going forward, however, it's not totally clear, just full disclosure, it's not totally clear which ribs are now being cut out. Is it the ribs that are more cranial? Is it the ribs that are more caudal? It is not totally clear which ribs are off the chopping block, if you will. Anyway, so there are 11 rows of ribs, and that means that there are a total of 22 ribs. And what did we learn back in the Mishnah? If the majority of the ribs are broken, so then the animal is in fact a trefa. It's one of the Yerchet trefas. It's one of the 18 trefas. So Nishabu Rav Tzolasa, Tan Rabban. So we start off with a Braisa. Eluhain Rav Tzolasa. So what are the majority? Sheish Mikan v'Sheish Mikan. Oh, Achas Asrei Mikan v'Achas Mikan. So what we start off learning in the Braisa is the following, and that is that we're looking at the majority. Now again, as I explained, we are not working with the number 26, we're working with a total of 22. There are 22 ribs. So the first thing we're learning together is that the majority. So what is the majority of 22? That's going to be 12. Good. Right? Hard to disagree with that. So if the majority of 22 is going to be 12, so 12 broken ribs. Now, configuration doesn't matter. If there are 12 broken ribs, it could be 6 on one side, 6 on the other side, 11 on one side, 1 on the other side. Configuration does not matter. Once 12 of the ribs are broken, the animal's a trefa. Amar ziriu mechatz and kapi shedra. Ah, the Gemara says, now when we're talking about a broken rib, the rib is a very long bone. Which part of the rib are we talking about that's broken? So the Gemara describes the rib on the dorsal side. So, right, that means the back. So the ribs that are on the front of the chest are not halachically significant to render the animal a trefa. It is only the ribs that are on the dorsal side of the animal which are considered significant when broken. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan v'Salos Gedolos, Sheish Bahem Moach, we're only talking about ribs that have marrow. And it's that line of the Gemara that tells us that it's not all 26 ribs, but rather only 22 of the 26, because they're the ones with marrow. Again, anatomically, we're not totally sure which 22 we're making reference to. But in the meantime, however, we know the number is 22. That's a given. Amar Ula ben Amar Ula. And so now we start off a discussion in the Gemara, and basically the discussion is going to go like this. The Gemara presents it, admittedly, is going to be a little bit complicated. But the basic idea that the Gemara is going to be discussing is the following. What if we have not just broken ribs, but we have, let's say, a full dislocation of the ribs from the very vertebrae himself? What if, let's say, even some of the vertebrae itself is either broken or totally ruptured? What then do we say of such an animal? And so that's the discussion coming up in the Gemara. It starts with a statement by Ula.
What would be dislocated rib?
A dislocated rib is where the rib comes out of the socket.
Well, that's the rib is solidly attached to the...
No, it's a ball. It's a ball and socket. So you just
put the rib into the
Vertebrae.
It's a ball and socket.
Okay. Right. Yes. Okay. Okay, good. So, continuing in the Gemara, Amar Ula ben Zakai Amar Nekro Berov Tzad Echa Nishtaber Berov Shnei Tzadim. So the Gemara starts with the statement of Ula, quoting ben Zakai, and Nekro Berov Tzad Echa. Let's say a total dislocation on the majority of one side, Nishtaberu Berov Shnei Tzadim. So he makes a halachic distinction whether or not the ribs were dislocated versus just broken. If it's broken, we go back to what we said previously. So in other words, I need 12 of the ribs to be broken in order for the animal to be trefa. But if we're talking about dislocation, so there, I only need the majority of one side. So in other words, Ula is quoting in the name of Ben Zakkai, dislocated ribs are worse. And I only need now, not 12, but only 6 dislocated ribs in order for the animal to be a trefa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bein Akru Bein Ishabru Barov Shnei Tzadim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it does not matter halachically whether or not it's broken or whether or not it's dislocated. The number still remains 12. Now, Amar Rav, and we now are going to have the following discussion. It starts with a statement by Rav. Nekrutzela v'chuya ima trefa. If we have a dislocation of a rib with the chulya, so then it's going to be a trefa. Now, it sounds like we're not only missing a rib, but we're missing also a full vertebrae as well. And now, in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask incredulously, what? If we're missing a vertebrae, so the animal, forget trefa as part of being the discussion, the animal is dead. Or what we refer to in halacha as a nevela. So in other words, it leaves the world of trefa discussion, it enters into the world of nevela discussion, and that's a totally different discussion. So right now, as we're reading Rav, I'll just read a kipshuta, but we're going to modify that over the course of the sugya. He says, Nakrat stela v'chuya ima trefa. That if a rib and the vertebrae that it's attached to is gone, the animal's a trefa. So Amalei Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. So now Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi asks the following question to Rav, which is, Nakrat stela mikan v'tzela mikan v'chuya keyem es malhu. Let me ask you a question. Let's say now we're looking at one of the vertebrae, and the ribs on both sides are dislocated. So now, what would be the halacha under those circumstances? Amar lahu, gistru kamrisu, and Rav is shocked by the question. That animal is halachically a gistra, an animal that's separated into two, meaning that's not even a trefa. That's a nevela. And that I don't even understand what you're asking me under those circumstances. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait one second. It's hard to understand what just happened over here. Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked a question of Rav. Rav immediately rejected the premise of the entire question. But meanwhile, Rav himself said just a moment ago that if I have a rib and the chulia that are gone, so then the animal is in fact deemed a trefa. A trefa. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? Vaha Rav Nami Gistra Kamar. So Rav himself says that the animal is a Gistra. So, what, did I just skip a little bit? Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm a Rav Kanav Mikam Vachulia Kanyamas Mamala Gistra Kamisa. Oh, sorry. No, I'm good. I'm sorry. Vaha Rav Nami Gistra Kamar. Now Rav said himself that the animal is a Gistra. So Ki Kamar Rav Tsela Belo Chulia. So the Gemara says, well, that's not what Rav meant. Rav meant that one of the ribs was dislocated, but the vertebrae was still there. The Gemara says, yeah, but did you see what Rav said? Vatsela v'chulya kamar. When Rav made the statement just four lines earlier, he actually says, tsela v'chulya. So tsela v'chatsi chulya, the Gemara says, yeah, but that, I know that's what Rav said, but what he meant was, he meant the rib and part of the vertebrae. If, in fact, the full vertebrae was gone, so then, of course, the animal would be a nevela. That's what's called gistra, an animal that's split into two, which means that the animal's a nevela. So, Michal de Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi Tzela B'lo Chulya Amre. So the Gemara says, okay, but then if that's what Rav said, so then Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi sounds like they're asking that what happens if just the rib were to be removed. V'Amre Lehu Gistra Kamriso. And it sounds like what's Rav's response to that? Oh, that's also a gistra. So Vahamar Ula, Ben Zakar Nekru Virov Tzad Echad. Sorry, Nekru Virov Tzad Echad, Nishabu Rov Shneit Tzadim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When we have the ribs dislocated, so then according to Ben Zakkai, as quoted by Ula, so I only need Rov Tzad Echad, only one side to be removed. Not what we're discussing over here, both sides. So the Gemara says, let's make sure we understand. If what we have now is a dislocation of the ribs from the vertebrae, but there is no one vertebrae that lost both of its ribs, so then you need six to go, according to Ben Zakkai, and according to Rav Yochanan, 12. But according to Ben Zakkai, I need six to go. Six dislocated ribs in order for the animal to be a trefa. If, on the other hand, I have one vertebrae where it's missing ribs on both of its sides, so then I don't need six of them to go. That's the distinction between the statement of Ula and the statement of Rav. So the Gemara says, wait one second. V'ham Rav Yochanan b'rov shnei tzadim u'v'rov shnei tzadim y'efshad olokayme chad minay zeh k'neged zeh. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Okay, that was the statement of Ula, but now let's move over to the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that when it comes to dislocated ribs, the animal needs to be having 12 of its ribs lost in order for the animal to be considered a trefa. Now, on the vertebrae, if 12 of the ribs are gone, so by definition that means that there are going to be one vertebrae missing a rib on both of its sides. So the Gemara says, is that connected there? So the Gemara says, Hasam buchna below asisa. Hacha buchna ve'asisa. So the Gemara says, okay, if we're just talking about where the rib itself is dislocated, but the vertebrae itself is not compromised at all, so then we go to the statement of Rav Yochanan, which is that the animal is not a trefa until the animal has lost 12 of its ribs. So if the vertebrae still have full integrity, so then you need 12 of the ribs to be removed. However, if let's say now, not only are the ribs dislocated, but part of the vertebrae itself is compromised, some of it got snapped, broken, however you want to say it, so then we have the halacha of Rav, which is that if it is missing both the rib and part of its vertebrae, the animal is a trefa. It's missing a full vertebrae, the animal is an avela. So So the Gemara says, so that means now as follows. So you're telling me now that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are asking a question, which is effectively exactly what Rav said. So they're not even asking something that Rav didn't talk about. Rav spoke about it. So what's Rav Kahana and Rav Asi doing asking a question from Rav, when meanwhile Rav already made the statement? But the answer is very simple. Lo shmiluhu derav. So the Gemara says, okay, they didn't hear Rav make the statement, and so therefore they're asking, not knowing that Rav actually asked that question. So the Gemara says, okay, so question now. They never heard Rav's statement. And so now they're asking about a vertebrae where its two ribs are dislocated, and not only are we having a dislocation of the ribs, but some of the vertebrae itself is also compromised, and that's what they're asking Rav. Question. When they're asking Rav that question, how come they don't ask both scenarios? The scenario where one vertebrae is missing, where one rib is missing, and the scenario of two ribs are missing. Meaning, why don't they ask both of those questions? So, Savre li baimine chad de parash lantarte. And here we get to a Gemara, which actually we saw not that long ago, a good amount of time, but, you know, in Daf Yomi terminology, not that long ago, where we had a similar construct of Gemara, where the Talmidim wanted to ask a question of the Rebbe, where they were going to ask one question and get two answers from that one question. Now, over here, why do we have conservation of words? Like, why isn't there enough time to ask a question and a follow-up question? So, I don't have a great answer, but, you know, having said the daf for as long as I have, so sometimes, you know, time is an issue. Whatever the case is, so, let's say we asked if only one of the ribs was missing, dislocated, again, with some of the vertebrae also missing. So if we only asked them about one, hanicha amalang trefa koshekin tarte. So if that's a trefa, so then both ribs are missing are for sure going to be a trefa. Yamalach kshera, but if he said that one rib dislocated is kasher, akati tarte kami bailam, but then we have the follow-up question which we wouldn't have known the answer to. So yahachi ashanami dekabai mine tarte. So the Gemara says, so why don't we start off with two? Hanicha amalu kshera. Now, if two of the ribs are missing and he said kasher, so then we would know that if two dislocated ribs is kasher, one dislocated rib is for sure kasher. But if he said that by two, he said that it's a trefa, okay, two is a trefa, but we wouldn't have known one. How would it be possible to be able to ask one question and receive the answer to both of these questions? So Savri, so they thought, meaning the Talmidim, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, Im Kain, Mirsach, Karasach. So the Gemara says, look, when you answer a question, so you can answer it calmly, and sometimes you can answer it being frustrated. And that frustration is indicative of the fact of, that was such a silly question. And, cha de trefa tarfi mi baye, if one is a trefa, why in the world are you asking me about two? So if you see that when we asked him about two, and he got good and frustrated, so that means that was a silly question. And from there we would have deduced, meaning, of course, we wouldn't have wanted to get Rav angry, but at least we could have then deduced, well, if he's frustrated by two, then even one would have been a trefa. Now, the Gemara says, now, we saw the dialogue actually occur. Didn't seem like Rav got angry. So the Gemara says, no, he did. Right? In other words, there's anger and there's anger. Some people are subtle with their anger. And some people are able to have good control of their emotions and be angry, but at the same time, not let the world know that he's angry. So came into Kamar Lahu Gister Kamri. So because look at the wording that Rav said in his answer. When Rav Kahan and Rav Asi asked the question about what if an animal has a vertebrae where both of its ribs are dislocated and also some of the vertebrae is gone as well? And what was his response? Gistru kamrisu. Oh, that's an animal that's split into two. That's anger. Hainu rischei. That's the anger of Rav. That's Rav being angry. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the discussion of the Gemara. Broken ribs, dislocated ribs. Dislocated ribs where some of the vertebrae is removed. Dislocated ribs where all the vertebrae is removed. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Nekut Selam Ikara, V'gugol Shenichbasa Beruba, Ubasar Chofes Rav Akeres Beruba, Trefa. Okay, so the Gemara now quotes in the name of Shmuel, Amarayim, all the way back to Shmuel, that under these circumstances, the animal would be a trefa. We're going to be speaking about every one of these in detail. Let's begin. Nekut Selam Ikara Trefa. If the rib is totally dislocated, so the animal is in fact going to be a trefa. Every minute the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. Kama chisarim b'shedra b'shamay amrim shtei chuliyos b'shel amrim chuliyah achas. So the Gemara says, let's go back to a discussion that we saw earlier in our very own perek. We saw this in the beginning of the third perek. How many vertebrae does it take in order for the vertebrae of a human not to give off tumas mace? And a machlokes between b'shamay and b'shel, where b'shamay says two chuliyos, and Beis Hillel says, Chulya Achas, which means that in the world of Tumah and Tahara, Beis Hillel is a Mekel. Only one of the vertebrae needs to be removed from the column in order for it not to give off Tumas Ameis, which means that with one vertebrae absent, it's no longer, if it were alive, it would no longer be considered a life force. So the remains, the skeletal remains, if one vertebrae is removed, that's enough to remove the tumas ohal. Chuli achas v'am Rav Yehuda mashmal v'chein l'treifa. So the Gemara says, and the same thing is true regarding a treifa, meaning take the shitas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even though they were talking about a human, and tumas ohal, take the shitas and just simply apply it to that of a treifa, which now means that in an animal, with one chulia removed, the animal would in fact be treif. Although, again, treif probably not the best way to say it, Nevela. But in any event, so hachat tzela below chulia, hasam chulia below tzela. So the Gemara says, okay, but the distinction, however, we made previously, we'll just simply say it again. We were discussing the rib being removed. The discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is where the vertebrae is actually removed. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second, bishlam tzela below chulia mishkachala. I can easily envision a case in which a rib is removed without the vertebrae. But Ella, Chulia below Tzela, Hechim Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, but you could take out a vertebrae without removing the ribs? Like, that's a neat trick. How does that work? So the Gemara says, Bishili Kaple. So the Gemara says, sure you can. In other words, the lower portion of the back. In other words, the ribs only are on the upper column of the vertebrae. But as you move down the back, as you move now towards the tail, so you are now going to have vertebrae with no ribs over there. Why isn't this in the list? In the list of things where Beis Shammai is a Mekel and Beis Hillel is a Machmer. There are very few of all the machloksim that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There are very few, very rare occasion where Beis Shammai comes out to be a Mekel. Comes out now that Beis Shammai is a Mekel. Now, not on the issue of Tumas Mace, but on the issue of what renders an animal a Trefa. According to Beis Shammai now, the animal is not going to be a trefa until two vertebrae are removed. So that's a kula for Beis Shammai. So Amar Lei Rav, ki itchil le'inyan tumah, itchil dehavlu Beis Shammai l'chumra. But the Gemara says very simply, yeah. But you know why that's not on the list? Because the trefa discussion was not the primary discussion. The primary discussion was the tumas ohel. And as far as Tumas Ohel is concerned, Beis Hillel ends up being a Mekel, and Beis Shammai ends up being a Machmer. So since that's the primary discussion, although the derivative discussion of Trefa does have Beis Hillel coming out to be the Machmer, but that's only a derivative discussion, not the primary discussion. Adkan, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots.